All right.
My favorite pastors are the ones that are pro-choice. Like that guy in Georgia, that's that, gosh, the Democrat. He's like, I'm a pro.
Oh, the guy that's like a senator?
I think so. Warnock.
Yeah, he's a devil.
I'm a pro-choice pastor. I mean, I didn't know that you gave the authority, you had the authority to tell people. You just make stuff up.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. Oh, I was watching your sermon on, what was it? The Only Begotten? Yeah, that.
Yeah. Yeah, every once in a while I realize that some of the sermons, because our old YouTube channel got taken down.
Oh, I didn't know that. I
was like, oh, that sermon's not up there. How many subscribers? So if you see like certain sermons just pop up, it's because I'm like, oh yeah, that sermon, we didn't put it back up yet.
How many subscribers did you have on your old channel?
I mean, it wasn't like that much more, but we had around 5,000.
Oh, okay.
But the new one, it just, we got so blacklisted.
Yep.
We couldn't even get back up to the, I mean, it's just, it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it works, man. They don't want the truth out there. Yeah. Dang. Was it that crazy what you did?
So,
don't go too far with it here, but
well, it was, there was a documentary called Marching to Zion. Zionism. Yeah. And then I preached another sermon about Judaism.
Uh-huh.
And basically I got a strike for the sermon. And then they just sent me another email like immediately after and said my whole channel was taken down.
What?
Yeah. I didn't even get a chance to even look at the first strike. It was like strike, boom, you're gone.
Oh my gosh.
So
that's insane.
I had strikes before, you know what I mean? But for different sermons or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's the one. That's just the one that you can't touch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a sacred cow.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
That is what it is. I mean, that documentary had like over 100,000 views.
It was a good one, too. It's still up.
Yeah.
On another channel.
On another channel, yeah. But it was, it was like, I think it started getting traction with YouTube itself. So
that was the first one I saw too. That was the first documentary I saw. And then I saw what was it, the New World Order Bible versions. That was good.
And I was after tribulation.
Oh, I saw that one too. I pretty much saw all of them, I think. I know. Yeah. The Preserved Bible was good.
Yeah.
They're all pretty good documentaries. And it's crazy. Those would have so many more views too if this platform wasn't the way that it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, well, a lot of good stuff is stifled, you know, to where you can't, it's hard to find. Even if you know that it's on there and you know what to type in, it's still hard to find.
Yep.
So.
And, yeah, without any more wait, let's get into the video here. This video is called, it's Isaiah Saldivar's video called I Tried Casting Demons Out of Myself and Failed, Self-Deliverance Tips. All right. I mean, I laughed when I saw this the first time. Okay. Here we go.
I cast a demon out of myself. This is what we're going to talk about in today's video. I want you guys to stay until the end because I'm going to lead you in a self-deliverance prayer and I'm going to pray for you. I'm constantly getting asked this. Is it possible to do self-deliverance? Guys, really quick, pause right here. Hit that blue thumbs up, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and please leave a comment down below. It helps us with the algorithms. Let me know in the comments, what do you think about self-deliverance? Have you tried self-deliverance? And what was your experience? Okay, there's a question is, Isaiah, can you do self-deliverance? My answer might surprise you. And my answer is yes and no. And let me explain this. Let me first of all tell you about my story of self-deliverance. So if you don't know, January 12th of 2011, I got radically saved. I was an atheist, didn't believe in God, got radically saved. The next day...
He got radically saved.
Yeah.
He didn't just get saved.
He got radically saved.
Wow. Yeah. It's like Steven Anderson said, you know, I guess there's people that just get halfway saved.
Yeah.
He got all...
It's like when my wife gets pregnant, she kind of, you know, is halfway pregnant.
Yeah.
Know? Not all the way pregnant.
She's radically pregnant.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, I was driving to college, get to my college campus. As I was sharing and talking about God, I would start manifesting. For the next 2 to 3 days, I would talk about God and I would start manifesting. If you don't know what manifesting is, that's when the demon starts trying to take over your body, when it tries to talk out of you. And now I was growling, I was barking. I never in my life wanted to growl or bark, but I knew something was in me that wanted to come out of me. And so I remember I was at college. I think I was saved the second or third day I was saved. I went into my car and I was trying to cast this demon out of me. I was yelling at the demon. The demon was yelling back out of me. I was so frustrated because I couldn't get the demon to get out. I couldn't cast it out of me. I know one of the reasons why a lot of you want to do self-deliverance is because you can't find anyone to do deliverance on you. So I got to work that day. I was at Starbucks at the time making drinks. And anytime I would try to talk or think about God, I would start wanting to growl. So I knew I needed deliverance and I couldn't get it done myself. And so I'll never forget getting home, telling my little sister, hey, I need to get deliverance. Will you cast the demons out of me? And she proceeded to cast every demon out of me. Now, at the time, I never in my life could look people in the eye. For 10 years prior to this, I couldn't make eye contact with people. I didn't know why. I just knew I couldn't make eye contact with people. Now, because I was going to school for law enforcement, my sergeants, lieutenants would always get mad saying, Saldivar, look at me in the eye. And I just couldn't look at people in the eye. I didn't know it was because...
Oh. You guys, meet Ahmed, our new interpreter. Why he wants this job?
I need the money.
As the spirit of shame was actually in my life. I used to have big black circles around my eyes. Well, when my sister cast that demon of shame out of me, I've now been able to make eye contact ever since, not knowing it was a demon. So there might be things in your life that you don't know about that are actually demonic in nature, and they're causing you not to be able to do certain things. And these things, it's possible these things are demonic and you might not even know about it. And so I got my deliverance there with my sister. I tried doing self-deliverance. It was hard to do. And I'm going to talk to you about self-deliverance in this video. Now, it's not the pattern of scripture to do deliverance on yourself. This is not the pattern Jesus teaches. Is it possible? Yes. But the true pattern of scripture is doing deliverance on other people. So it's always going to be, if you're taking notes, easier to get someone else to cast a demon out of you than to cast a demon out of yourself. Now, of course, I want to say this. All things are possible with God. And of course, God can deliver you anytime. I know people that have gotten delivered in their sleep. I know people that have gotten delivered just walking down the road, praying in their bathroom. So it's definitely possible for God to deliver you at any time. But remember, the pattern of scripture, according to Jesus.
Did you say something?
How long is this video?
It's like 12 minutes.
Do you want to just go through listen to it all and then?
You can just tell me when to stop. Because I was going to say, the first thing is, there's no way a Christian having the Holy Spirit could have a demon at the same time. There's nobody in the Bible who was saved, who believed on Christ, who had demons cast out. There was people, other people that were.
Well, I'm definitely not surprised this guy is possessed with devils. I mean, that actually makes a lot of sense. But I mean, the number one verse that I would go to when it comes to this, as far as Christians cannot be possessed with a devil, is 1 John 4, because in 1 John 4 and verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And in context, so obviously he that is in you is what? The Holy Ghost
is, you know, greater,
the comforter that dwelleth in us. But in context of what that's talking about, as far as like, well, who's this in the world that we're talking about? In verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." Wow. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, "whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And Jesus even talks about this when he's talking about casting out devils.
Yeah.
It says, you know, basically that you can't enter into a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man.
Unless and you what?
What's that?
You said you can't enter in a strong man's house if what?
Unless you bind the strong man first. And basically, obviously, God is stronger than the devil. And actually, the places where you're dealing with a rebuking devil, it says the Lord rebuke thee, right? Even Michael the archangel, who's greater in power and might, you know, we're made a little lower than the angels. He even says the Lord rebuke thee to the devil. And so it's the Lord that's going to rebuke the devil. But the idea of, you know, how in the world could the devil indwell and possess somebody when the Holy Ghost is, we're literally the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And so you would have to say that he's like abiding there with like God and the devil, you know, he's allowing the devil to abide in there. And like you said, there's no place in the Bible where it ever talks about a saved person having a devil or being possessed. But on top of that, the Bible clearly states that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So,
yeah. And another thing I was going to say, how, you know, pretty like it's him and this guy, like there's another video that's recent, actually, this guy, Vlad, and
a Christian can have cancer, so therefore he can have demons. I mean, what are you talking about? A Christian can have a coffee, so why can't he have a demon? I mean, these are just stupid.
All equivalents, much? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Coffee and devils are one and the same. I mean,
it's exactly the same thing. And it's like, oh, have you ever heard of your flesh? Because it's like everything they blame. Well, he's got an addiction over here. He's addicted to such and such. Oh, he watches too much sports. It's a demon.
He's, you know, he can't stop smoking cigarettes. It's a demon. He's coughing. It's a demon. He's farting. Yeah. It's a demon.
Well, and here's the thing, though. You know what the Bible teaches? It says not to bring a railing accusation against the devil. And when people, and we got to be careful about this, because if you say, let's say you got a flat tire going to church and you're like, oh, the devil gave me a flat tire.
Yeah.
That's a railing accusation. Could be the devil. Yeah. It may not be the devil, right?
Right.
And so we're not to just throw out an accusation and be like, well, that's the devil. This is the devil. We are, you know, we don't know that it could be, but at the same time, we're not just to throw that out there flippantly.
Yeah.
So,
because our flesh and spirit are constantly warring against each other, you know, and anytime somebody like, it's like this guy says, and these other pastors like Greg Locke, well, you should come in every few months and get your demons casted out of you. It's like, it's just people want to just some excuse. So a quick fix basically to get rid of everything. Meanwhile, it's just your flesh. You just have to deny your flesh.
Yeah.
You know, and walk in the spirit.
Yeah. It, you know, when it talks about every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts, you know, not like devils. Now the devil obviously can entice, right?
100%.
You know, the devil can entice, but to be possessed with a devil to where you're foaming and barking like a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy obviously is a reprobate. Yeah. I mean,
just imagine seeing that when he's making your drink at Starbucks and he starts barking at you.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is that, you know, this guy, obviously it makes sense that he's barking like a dog and he's like doing all that stuff. And, you know, even the where it talks about the dragon, the beast and the false prophet, it talks about how there were devils that came out of them like frogs.
Yeah.
So I do believe that, you know, these people that are demon possessed, like they could probably have devils coming out of them and like, you know, going in and out of them. Actually, there's a story in the Bible about a man that had a devil, an unclean spirit left him. And then he brought back seven other unclean spirits, more wicked than himself. Yeah. And the last state of that man was worse than the first. So, but that person obviously wasn't saved because when those devils came back, it says that he found the dwelling place, obviously the person
still there.
It's empty, swept and garnished.
Yeah.
So there wasn't the Holy Ghost living inside there.
Yeah.
So,
and if he would have had the Holy Ghost in there, that would have never happened.
They weren't entering. They wouldn't be entering, you know?
Yeah. And it's just such nonsense. People believe this. Like, okay, if some, like, this is like these Pentecostal and charismatic churches where all these people that are claiming it, you know, they're professing Christians, which none of these people are even saved because they don't even believe the real gospel. And they're all in the church getting demons cast out. What? That doesn't make any sense. Like, how was like thousands of people in a church that claim to be saved having demons in them? Like that.
Well, you know, the thing is
that you gotta read the Bible.
Well, the thing is that there's a lot of people that obviously they're not saved, you know, if they're demon possessed, but the Bible talks about people saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name?" And I do believe that the devil will deceive, you know, think about Pentecostal churches where there's like these so-called miracles that are done and everything else. You know, when the false prophet comes on the scene with the Antichrist, he's going to do a lot of miracles and he's going to deceive a lot of people. So, you know, the devils can do things to make it look like, you know, these people are like saved people or whatever. And obviously, we know the truth. So,
yeah, here, I'll click on it here. That's true, though.
Jesus was for the believers to cast demons out of other people. I believe now self-deliverance, I believe, is scriptural. I believe the same authority you have to cast demons out of other people, you have to cast out of yourself. But I also believe self-deliverance is a tool that's used after you've already been delivered. It's a take care of yourself after any spirits that return, any spirits that are left over, you can deal with them in self-deliverance. But this is very important. This is what I believe. This is what I teach in 10 years of doing deliverance ministry on our channel. In the last few months, we have over 30 hours of deliverance teaching. This is what I believe. I believe, and I wouldn't recommend you doing self-deliverance your first time being delivered. Remember, your first time being delivered, you're taking care of years of demons that have been there. And they're not always easy to get out that first time because there's a lot of stuff there. So self-deliverance is usually better if you do it after our...
You got to cut your body open and just get them out. That's what he's going
to
say.
Well, this guy needs to like tone it down. Like he needs to bring it down.
Look at the veins body. The veins are like, man.
He's just like, I mean, it's like he's trying to sell me something here, but you know, I haven't heard a verse yet, you know.
No, like, I haven't either.
I mean, he's just talking
because it doesn't exist.
Already been delivered to keep yourself delivered. Remember, deliverance is a process. It would be nice just to get delivered once and you're good. But it's not.
It's a process, man. Just like salvation, right? It takes like 40 years to get saved. Actually, you have to go to theologian school and do all this stuff. It's a process.
Not always as easy as just staying free. Remember, sin opens the door to for demons to enter. This is not to say that each time a person commits sin, a demon enters. Yet, sin is an open door, and it doesn't usually take that much of an opening for a demon to come in. Last week, I did a video. I'll put it in the description of demon portals, how demons get into our life. But just know that oftentimes, the first deliverance you do will be the most intense deliverance, the most radical deliverance. And so doing self-deliverance there is not easy. I'm going to tell you why, but I would recommend getting someone else to do it. This is why we've made the deliverance map. IsaiahSaldivar.com/deliverance. We have a map of over 300 people right now deliverance all over America and all over the world that will do deliverance on you if you contact them. Go ahead and check that out. I'll put that also in the description. You can find the deliverance map.
Now,
you
got
to know deliverance is process.
He's just like, down in the description. Down in the description. Down in the description.
Those veins on the neck, they're about to explode. Hold on, let me fast forward. He got radically saved, man.
Take deep breaths. Remember, the same word for breath or wind is spirit, and demons oftentimes leave out of the breath, out of the breathing out, their spirits. And so like the wind or oxygen, when you're breathing, demons leave out of the mouth. This is the common place. They can leave out of the ear, the nose, different places. But a common place that demons leave is out of the mouth. And so during self-deliverance, it helps to take deep breaths. It helps to breathe in and breathe out for those spirits to leave. Many times they'll leave out through exhaling, through coughing.
If you're farting, it'll just leave out through your butt.
I mean,
let me see.
What here. Verse is? I mean, obviously, I know there's a verse like I was talking about in Revelation where it talks about it came out of their mouth like frogs.
Yeah,
but that was literally the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, right? So, is he likening himself to these people?
I guess so.
I mean. This guy is obviously a false prophet, but he's not
100%.
I'll say this. He's not the false prophet
because
the world's not getting deceived by that guy.
Casting out demons live. Check out his casting out demons live.
Let's get real. Brushing your cat's teeth can be a big hassle. That's why there's OxyFresh Pet.
Cast that out.
Oh. Demons. It's a demon.
Last Ramadan.
Speak. Evil and dumb? Evil and dumb? Evil and dumb? Yes! Who else? Who else?
Yes!
Who else? How long have you been there, infirmity?
For 18 years!
Why did you come into her? Why did you come into her?
I had to destroy her!
Do you have a legal right?
I feel bad for those kids.
Are you ready to leave?
Yes.
It's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. Go, 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 go. Get out in Jesus' name. Get out. There it is. Go, 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 go. Come on, church, pray. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Freedom, freedom, freedom. All of it. Evil, go. Dumb spirit, go. Dumb spirit, go. Dumb spirit, go. Evil spirit, go. Infirmity, go. 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 Freedom. Freedom.
Oh, okay. Now he's speaking.
Did you feel them leave you?
Surrender.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Give him some praise. What spirit is this? What spirit is this?
Beelzebub,
we bind you now. Beelzebub, we bind you. We bind you, Beelzebub. We bind you, Beelzebub. Leviathan, you are bound. You are bound. You are arrested. You are illegal. Come out of her mouth and go into the pit. Now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Go.
I did not.
Go. 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 Out. 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 There it is. There it is. Out. Fire. Fire. Out. Out. All of it. Go. Go. There it is. Let it go. Let it go. Out. 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 Get out. Fire. All of it. All of it. Leviathan, take all your friends. Take all your friends, Leviathan. Take all your friends with you. Go. Go in Jesus' name.
The serpent of the sea.
Go. Thank you. Do you feel it leave you? You feel it leave you? Confusion? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Feeling it leave you?
Stop it right there for a second.
Yeah.
So you notice that he said, like, he said, we cast you out. You know, there's a story in the book of Acts about the sons of Sceva. And yeah. Obviously these people weren't saved. And, but they basically said, there was someone possessed with an evil spirit or whatever.
Yeah.
And, they said, I'm trying to look at the verse where it says it, but they were like exorcists, right? There was these vagabond Jews. They were exorcists.
Uh-huh.
But it says, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like we adjure thee, right? You know, it's kind of like what he was saying, like we're telling you, right? In Jesus' name, right?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that story is the fact that those evils, that evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye?
Yeah.
And it says that basically the evil spirit leaped on them and overcame them, and they like were wounded and naked and everything. So it's interesting. Like this guy is like talking about like casting out devils, and then he's talking about how he's possessed with devils all the time. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You have an unsaved person that had an evil spirit, and then you have these other unsaved people that are like supposedly casting him out, and they're going from one to the other. It's like a leapfrog.
And what's crazy to me is that, you know, somebody who will say the bad thing about this is that somebody who's just maybe just trying to figure out the truth, who's new into this stuff, is going to get really confused. They're going to be what is going on here?
Obviously, that kind of garbage gives Christianity a bad name.
Yeah.
And it makes it look like a joke. You know, I mean, it's just like the Pentecostal stuff with the speaking in tongues, which he did. You know, he was like saying all that gibberish garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, people look at that and they're like, this is a joke. You know, why would I want to? And it just looks like a joke, which is what that is. So.
Yeah. They're like, why aren't you so cool at your church? Why don't you do all that fun stuff?
Because we're sane and we're actually saved.
Why do you preach the Bible and not just do the fun stuff like cast out demons?
Yeah. Like he has this whole video about like self-deliverance, but there's no verse.
You don't cast a demon out of yourself. Come out. Come out.
Yeah, we'll find that in the Bible, you know, where someone's like casting a devil out of a saved person anyway.
But. No. That's ridiculous. It's stupid. Somebody says people argue that it's nothing but wait, I'm confused. Let me see the comments here. Let's see here. I wouldn't make fun of speaking in tongues. Spiritual gifts are real and are in New Testament. It's not a salvation issue, but I would never mock on the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, nobody's mocking
the gibberish. Tongues. The gibberish that that guy was speaking is not what the Bible teaches when they were speaking with tongues, which is other languages. And the day of Pentecost, they understood in their own language. So they weren't speaking some language that no one can understand.
Yeah.
And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is talking about going to a church and speaking a foreign language that everybody in the church doesn't understand. It's not talking about some language that no one in the whole world understands. Because yeah. even in that passage, it says that there that every voice out there has signification, mm-hmm. meaning that there's no voice out there, meaning like language to where no one understands it or wouldn't be a language.
Yeah,
he's by not... definition, a language has to be a language, has to be something that other people speak.
And that guy's just speaking gibberish.
Yeah, that guy's just jibber jabber. Like it's just
exactly
is what it is. I think
people are not understanding. They think that you were saying something bad about speaking in tongues, which you're not. You're saying what this guy is saying is just pure gibberish.
Yeah, well, not really. By the way, in the King James Bible, it doesn't say speaking in tongues. It says speak with tongues.
Yeah.
Because and then when it says that they spoke with other tongues, it says that they understood in their own language. And everybody there was every language under heaven at the day of Pentecost, mm-hmm. and they all understood in their own language. That means when they were speaking with other tongues, they were speaking a language that normally they wouldn't know how to speak.
Yeah.
And that was the miracle, obviously. So that was a miracle that was done at the day of Pentecost. But this idea of like this jibber jabber garbage, and people there are like, well, no, it's an angelic language. It's like, well, show me in the Bible where an angel ever spoke and no one understood him.
Somebody says these Pentecostals have a lying spirit, kind of like in 2 Chronicles 18:21-22. What's that? 2 Chronicles 18:21-22. Let's look it up.
It's probably talking about where God sent a lying spirit to deceive Ahab.
2 Chronicles 18:21. Here, I'm almost there. It says, and he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee.
Yeah, so basically, there's a story where there's Micaiah, who's like the one prophet. Jehoshaphat's like, there was like 400 prophets that were basically telling him like, yeah, go up, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
and Jehoshaphat's like, is there not another prophet besides these? And Micaiah obviously was telling, was like the real prophet. False prophets. But
there's this other false prophet called Marcus Rogers. And he claims that if you don't speak in tongues, that you don't have the Holy Spirit.
That's interesting, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it's talking about spiritual gifts, it says, do all speak with tongues? Which is a rhetorical no. So The idea of all say people doing that, it's obviously talking about spiritual gifts of speaking with other languages. And some people have a better gift to that.
Yeah.
Or even interpreting. But it actually, what's interesting about that is that's on the list.
And he claims
gifts.
He claims too that you can lose your salvation. Another Shocker. Thing. I know, right? I know. It's all these guys. They don't believe in all the biggest guys. They don't believe in free grace. And they don't believe in eternal security. And here's the crazy thing. I was just thinking about this today. Even if like my daughter did the worst thing ever, I wouldn't want to see her go to hell for eternity. Like, even if she killed me, I would not put her in hell for eternity. Like, that's my kid.
Yeah.
I would not.
Well, that's what I think. A lot of people, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the idea that when we get saved, we're born into God's family. Actually, yeah. I was giving the gospel to someone this past Sunday, and I had to clear that up, that we're not all children of God.
Yeah.
Inherently, you know, but once you believe, then you're a child of God. And I think that cleared up a lot of confusion there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not, you know, and there's people already that are on this earth that already had their name blotted out of the book of life because they're twice dead.
Yeah.
They're reprobates. And there's people that don't get it too. Like, oh, I'll get to this false prophet in a second. But, you know, they think that, like, oh, yeah, you know, there's like a saved person would just go get in their mind. Yeah, let me just go rape like 30 people. Like, that's not a natural sin. Like, they don't understand that there's reprobates. There's people that there's sins that are just so unnatural that nobody would do. Like, nobody's thinking that. And then there's sins that, you know, obviously. Like, for example, adultery is like a really bad sin, right? Murder is a really bad sin. But at the same time, that's not unnatural. Like, if something, you know, just all hell breaks loose, you know, something might go wrong and somebody might kill someone, right? It's not unnatural. But for somebody to think like a guy wants to have sex with another guy, that's not natural.
Right. Like, well, I think the easiest one for everybody to grasp is pedophilia, right?
Oh, 100%.
And I think that one, and if anybody is like, well, no, I struggle with that, then I don't want to talk to you anyway, you know? But the thing is that I think most people will look at that and be like, well, yeah, I mean, like, that's obviously not natural, right? That's something that's just, so once you realize, okay, there's stuff that people desire after that's not a typical, like, natural thing
weird
to deal with. And so then you realize, okay, there must be something that happened to this person where they've gone down, like, this spiral. And what I, you know, when someone becomes a reprobate, when God gives them over to a reprobate mind, it says he gives them up unto their own vile affections.
Yeah.
And the idea there is that the governor, if you will, is taken off. So if you think about like a car that has a governor on it where you can only go so fast, I look at it like, okay, that governor has been taken off and they can kind of go past the natural realm of sinning, if that makes sense. And the Bible even talks about how they're inventors of evil things. So there's a lot of stuff where we're just like, who would even think of that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's like, just so many things like
something like that.
Just so many things that are unnatural where it's like, yeah, like you're not thinking of that. Like for a guy to, you know, have lust for a woman that they think is attractive. That's a normal thing. That's not unnatural. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or, to get unjustly angry or something like that, right? That's normal. That happens all the time. Like, these are all normal things, but people just bring up the stupidest scenarios that are actually that never happen.
Oh, what if he just, you know, killed a million people? Is he still saved?
Yeah, and it's like, you gotta, yeah. And you know what's interesting though, when I talk to people, when I give people the gospel, a lot of that stuff comes up when you talk about eternal security.
Yeah.
And then when you explain, well, listen, a normal person isn't going to, like, normal person with a conscience isn't going to do stuff like that. The people that do stuff like that are obviously psychopaths. And they, like, basically, they have no conscience. And, you know, they weren't born that way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, there was a point in their life where their conscience was seared and that happened.
Yeah.
Someone in the comment section was basically said, you know, we're not all children of God.
Yeah.
Question mark. And yeah. So the Bible says as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the Bible says, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
The Bible says that before we're saved, we're called the children of wrath or the children of disobedience. And that's because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Before you get saved.
Yeah, before you get saved, you're dead in trespasses and sins. And, you know, we've come short of the glory of God and we must be born again. And the born again is where you're born into God's family.
Yeah.
That's when you're adopted into the family of God. And that's when you're a child of God. And once you're a child of God, you can't be unborn. So.
Yeah, definitely. That's what people don't get. They don't understand God's love too. Like, because God's love is just more than anyone could imagine. Right. Like they think that, oh, if you just do this or whatever, God's just going to just throw you in the fire. Like he doesn't, they don't understand how much God loves us. They compare it to the dumbest things like, yeah, so, you know, being a child of God is like being an NFL player. You sign a contract and you're obligated to do these things. What are you talking about, dude? Like, that is not what it is. I mean, name someone that's going to go die on the cross for all your sins and so you don't go to hell. And all you have to do is trust in that. And this guy I was watching, the Charlie Bing guy, was actually he said it pretty nicely. He was saying, you know, it's not easy, like they call it easy believism. You know, they call it, it's not easy. It's simple, right? Because it's not easy for someone to be like, okay, all this stuff happened and all I have to do is believe and trust in it so I can go to heaven and not go to hell for eternity. It's not really easy to accept that. It's simple though.
Well, I wear easy believism as a moniker.
No, but yeah.
I do get what you're saying though, because some people it's not easy to let go. You know, to let go of basically the pride of like, hey, I was wrong,
yeah.
Or hey, I gotta do something. Yeah, in that sense, like it can be hard for people to do that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like getting salvation is easy.
Yeah,
it is. The Bible likens it to basically taking a drink of water or opening a door.
Yeah, they said, knock, ye shall enter. Ask, ye shall receive.
Yeah, it's as simple as just, you know, receiving a gift.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. Like, obviously, there's stumbling blocks and there's things that will cause people to make it hard for
that's what I mean. Like,
accept it.
Like, if you hear all that stuff, it's like, it's simple to receive. Like, it's not like this complicated process like these, you know, Calvinists make it. Like, you know, they when the serpents were biting the people and God told Moses to make the fiery serpent, all they had to do was look at it and they live. And the guy I was talking about, he was making fun of John MacArthur. He's like, John MacArthur has been like, they had to suffer and crawl towards the serpent. They couldn't just look at it.
Yeah, and later on in Isaiah, it says, look unto me all the ends of the world, of the earth, and be ye saved, you know. So that principle of look and live. I mean, we have a whole hymn that's called Look and Live.
Yeah.
Based off of that. But this is exactly right. I mean, it's just a matter of like looking. It's simple, but at the same time, you know, it's funny because people say, well, if salvation's that easy and it's that simple, then why doesn't everybody believe it? I'm like, why don't you tell me? You know,
yeah, why don't you believe it?
I'm like, why don't you tell me why? Because you're the one that doesn't believe it, you know? So they're like, it's like checkmate because they're like, they're the ones that are literally denying it. But
that's why everybody denies it, because of the pride and, you know, they're all puffed up and they want to work for it. They feel like it's just, oh, it's just too easy. It's too simple. Like it has to be more difficult to go to heaven. But here's the thing. Do you think God loves us so much? Do you think that he would actually make it difficult for us to get into heaven? He wants everyone to go to heaven.
Right.
That's the thing. It's like, people think God wanted to make it hard. Like they want to, you believe a lie, go to hell then. Believe the lie. All right. Yeah.
I mean, it's so simple that the Bible says that you have to be converted and become as a little child, you know, meaning that it's as simple as childlike faith.
Yeah.
And it's as simple that a child can understand it. And so, and like you said, if God's not willing that any should perish, but then all should come to repentance and he'll have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth.
Wait, then, when you said repentance, did you mean of your sin? No.
Yeah. No. But yeah, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like the idea of like, you obviously have to, you know, only be believing in him. But that's the thing. Like God obviously wants everybody to get saved.
Yeah.
So he made it very simple. And here's the thing though. It's simple, but at the same time, Jesus gets all the glory.
Yeah.
By how he did it. And so it's perfect salvation because, you know, it's free. But at the same time, he gets all the glory. So the only reason I'm going to heaven is because of what he did.
It
has nothing to do with what I do. Any good thing that I do has nothing to do to add or take away or whatever from my salvation. Yeah. So
your life might, if you do something bad though, your life here might kind of suck.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, there's consequences, you know, in this life. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So, I mean, you'll have some. And here's the thing, what you do, even, you know, what you do as far as sins in this life affects eternity, and the fact that, you know, you won't have the rewards that you may have.
Yeah.
If you were to do what you should be doing. But also you think about like eternal things like family members that you could have won the Christ, for example, loved ones that you could have witnessed to, but you decided to just live in the flesh.
Yeah.
And then you have to watch them go into hell.
Yeah.
As you didn't do more, you know, and you know, that to me is probably the ultimate like thing as far as like you know, that would be horrible.
Yeah, definitely, man. It was nice when I went soul winning the other day, actually. I think it was Sunday. It was like in this shopping area, and there's like restaurants and stuff, and there's people walking around, and there's this lady and her daughter, and at first I was like, they're eating their ice cream, and I don't know, they wouldn't want to talk to me, but I still stopped and they wanted to talk to me. Actually, I talked to him for a long time, and the lady went to a Catholic church, but she was listening to everything I said, and she was like, thank you so much and stuff. Cause like, it seemed like she didn't really, like, she knew it was Jesus, like through Jesus, but she didn't fully understand it. And I was just explaining everything, and it felt so good, you know, that she actually was appreciated it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And that's what keeps me going, you know, when it comes to soul winning, because you're always going to have those people that aren't interested. You get the door slammed in your face, all that stuff.
Not for fun.
You know, from experience, that there's people out there like that.
Yeah.
That are just wanting to hear it. And God is preparing the hearts of people. And so, you know, we're just out looking for those.
Definitely.
And, you know, obviously I want everybody to get saved, you know, that we run into, but I can't force anybody.
Yeah. So. You didn't try to get the Nashville shooter saved?
Shit tight.
I'm just kidding.
What's their assumed verbs now? Or verb is was, were?
Yeah. Dude, that's just wicked, man.
That boils my blood.
And it's mind blowing that they don't have, like, you know, I don't want to talk about this for long, but it's mind blowing that they don't have like security there. Like, what is going on, man? Like, they should have at least, you know, a couple, you know, a cop or something. It's mind blowing, dude.
Well, and the thing is that I homeschool. So, and a big reason I homeschool is because I don't trust anybody to take care of my kids and protect my kids. But I mean, other reasons is I'm not going to subject them to the garbage that they're shoving over the public school system. But even private school, which is what that was, Christian school, right? Is the fact that if the people there aren't going to arm themselves and carry, then, you know, no.
Yeah.
But I don't trust my kids with strangers anyway.
Absolutely not. Because you know, you're just sending them off to people you don't even know. All the people in there, you know, all the people that work in the school, you have no idea anything about them. Whereas you can just homeschool them here at your house and you can know exactly what's going on.
Yeah. And you know, my kids aren't sheltered because I mean they go out, I mean they see the world for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and but at the same time, like, I'm not going to feed them to the wolves.
Yeah.
And you know what? Public school was a lot different when I went.
Oh, yeah.
Than what it is now.
A lot more normal.
So, you know, if it was like it was back when I was in school, you know, it wouldn't be as like, but nowadays, there's no way. There's no way.
So. Yeah. Definitely, man. I got this video here, actually. Let me see here. It's some, let's see. I don't know if this is the right one, but it's, you need the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Let's see.
I'll talk to you guys today about why you need the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues. Some call it your prayer language. I want to teach on that. I'm going to get into the word and I'm going to show you. Now, some people, they argue that, you don't need, you know, to be baptized. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're just wrong, all right? And anybody who gets mad at this video or gets upset or starts arguing with this video, it's because they lack the faith to receive the gift, and they haven't received it yet, and so they criticize anybody.
Are you mad? I can tell you're mad already. You're shaken.
Yeah. It's funny how he prefaces this video with, like, listen, if you disagree, it's because you lack faith.
Yeah.
It's like automatically, like, if you don't agree with me, it's because you don't have the faith you need.
Yeah, you're not saved.
It's like,
so check it out. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, one action, and be baptized, two actions, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's three separate actions. So anybody who tells you, oh, you don't have to be baptized, it says clearly that if you're not baptized, you will be damned in the Bible.
What?
What?
That does not say that.
Talk about adding stuff there.
Oh my God. What version is this? Is this John MacArthur's version? Yahweh?
What is his? Is that legacy? Isn't that legacy?
Yeah.
Crap. You know what's funny though, because in Acts 10, when Cornelius gets saved and all his house, it talks about the Holy Ghost coming upon them. And
yeah, they
were speaking with tongues, like talking about like kind of the day of Pentecost, right?
Yeah.
And he says, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?
They literally
not only were they baptized with the Holy Ghost, but they were like speaking in other languages that they formerly didn't know. And then he's like, well, they should definitely get baptized now, you know. But no, you have to be baptized. You know?
Yeah, and it's just crazy. So the thief on the cross was damned, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, he was an exception. See, God doesn't have people don't understand this. God does not have favorites.
That's the thing. Like, God's not a respecter of persons.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it comes to salvation, that would be a respecter of persons if there was exceptions like that.
Nope, not exceptions. And if we're asking according to his will, we're asking for something, he's going to give it to us.
Yeah.
It's so, and it even says that in, I think it's, gosh, dang. No, that's not it.
First John 5.
Yeah.
Anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Well, but then it also talks about in First John that, basically, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God? Yeah. Whatsoever we ask, we receive him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Yeah.
So when it comes to getting what you pray for,
yeah,
one, you have to be praying for something that's according to his will and that you're not
money
upon his lust. But you also have that faith that he's able to do it. But then also, you know, the Bible says that we need to keep his commandments. We need to be right with God. Mm-hmm. And so the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And, you just need to speak in this gibberish, and you need to get filled with that Pentecostal power.
You mean with demons? oh, and I was going to say, yeah. And like in Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask and ye shall receive, knock and ye shall enter. You know, it's because God wants to obviously, you know, give us those things according to his will. He's not going to say no. He even says, like, you know, if what about the parents giving the kids good gifts? Imagine what God can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to give us the things we ask for, as long as it's according to his will. Let's see this. Someone says, billionaire faith says, I am apostolic. And is that, am I pronouncing that right? Apostolic, and have spoken in tongues again. It's not a salvation issue, that it's real. Why would you not get baptized if Jesus said to do it and was baptized himself? These are stupid things too. Well, so to not be obedient too. Well, so I think you're not understanding that being baptized is not a part of salvation. That's something that you do after you're saved, right?
So Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so obviously baptism is the first thing we're supposed to do after we get saved. And, but it's after we get saved, it's after we believe, and it's not a part of salvation. It's not part of the gospel. And so, you know, we're not saying to not get baptized. I baptize people. I dunk people underwater, but it's not a part of their salvation. And this, just to be clear, this Pentecostal speaking in tongues where it's gibberish is demonic. It's wicked. It is not biblical. Every time that tongues are mentioned in the Bible, is talking about languages that people can understand. And the one place in 1 Corinthians 14, it's stating that there's people in the church that can't understand it, but that doesn't mean no one in the world can understand it. And actually clarifies that there, that every language that's out there, there's people that can understand it. But obviously, if I go into a church speaking English and it's all Spanish, it's going to be an unknown tongue to them if they don't understand English. So, yeah, I have no apologies. That Pentecostal tongue speaking is garbage.
It is.
You're either faking it or you're demon possessed.
And also the same person says, I just follow what Jesus asks him wants us to do. The church is too divided for things like this. Instead of helping people, you are bashing other Christians. No, nobody's bashing anyone. So false prophets need to be exposed. You know, just because people claimed, oh, they're Christian. Can we all just get along? Well, that's not how it is. That's not the situation that's going on. You know, there's false prophets out there. And they need to be exposed. They're teaching a false doctrine, a false gospel.
So would this person be against when Jesus took a whole chapter in Matthew 23 to rip the face of the scribes and the Pharisees in front of everybody and calling them false prophets and calling them, you know, basically a generation of vipers?
Twofold child of hell.
Yeah, that they were making proselytes, twofold more children of hell than themselves. The reason that this is important is because people are going to hell because of these false doctrines.
Right back. You can keep
this talking. Is not an issue where people are believing we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. No, listen, if you think you can lose your salvation, you're not saved and you need to put your trust in Christ. So when it comes to this issue, when we're looking at these false prophets, we're not looking at brothers and sisters in Christ. We're talking about devils. We're talking about people that are going to go to hell. And I care about the people that they're trying to deceive. And so, you know, the false prophet himself can go to hell in a handbasket. But when it comes to the people they're deceiving, that's who I care about, because I don't want to see innocent people get caught up in false doctrine like the Pentecostal stuff or, you know, this guy that's supposedly casting out devils. So.
See here, let's get back to this loser here.
Bible in Mark, and it's not talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see here, it's three separate actions. You repent, you were baptized, and then you receive the Holy Ghost. Then you receive the Holy Spirit. All right, so we get into a couple other verses that I want to read for you. And then we know John 3 says, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Couple of verses I want to give you.
Yeah, John 3, Acts 2:4, right there,
all of them were filled.
Yeah.
John 3, where it says, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The next verse says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about being born of the Spirit or being born of water, which is anybody that has ever had children would know that that's talking about the amniotic fluid that a baby is born in, and why people have, I mean, they can have water baths or water births because the baby's going from water to water and they're born of water, physical. And yeah. Nicodemus was literally just talking about entering into his mother's womb a second time.
Yeah.
So the whole context is a physical birth that he's confused about. And Jesus is saying, you need to be born physically, obviously, but you need to be born spiritually. And when people go to that, as far as that being a proof passage, it's like you have to literally just take that one verse and rip it out of context.
Yeah.
And you can say whatever you want.
Read the whole, let's read the whole verse or the whole thing in context. and then we can watch. Okay. What's it? Let's see here. I'm gonna pull it up. What is it? John 3. Dude, I'm filming this video tomorrow because you know how Trump's being indicted. I don't know if you heard about it.
Is he actually going to get arrested?
Dude, it's all show, I think, obviously, like everything else. But I was basically doing this redneck character I do, and I'm going to go have people sign a petition so Trump doesn't go to prison. Like, it's just stupid, but it'll be funny.
Yeah.
See, when Trump, you know, because the whole thing was about him giving hush money to this porn star, Stormy Daniels. Okay. And because he cheated on his wife with her. And it's just like people will come up with the dumbest excuses for Trump. Like, well, see, Trump, you know, he was doing that to expose her. He wanted to expose the evils of adultery. He didn't really want to sleep with her.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is always playing 4D chess.
Apparently. 5D, buddy.
5D.
Yeah, it's funny. You got to me. You said that before I said that. And that's what I always say. I was like, you know, when Trump is even just talking to somebody, right, one of his supporters, he doesn't just look at them as a person. He's playing chess. His whole life is a chess game, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. Every single person that's a supporter, he does flatter. He's the biggest flatterer I've ever seen in my life.
I know. It's John 3 what, by the way?
It's the very beginning. So if you start at the beginning, when Nicodemus is there.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go. Let me pull it up on the thing. And then we'll go back to this guy who's a false prophet. Okay, so you can see my screen?
Yep.
Okay, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit. See, that makes sense. See, even I remember when I read that, like the first time I read the Bible, I didn't understand. I thought the same thing, but this guy doesn't get it still. That was like,
yeah, it's like right before that verse and right after the verse, you can see that we're talking about
parallel,
born of the flesh.
So parallel with it. It's like this clicks. It's like, okay, he said here, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So, yeah, he's talking about being born literally, physically of the flesh and of the Spirit, right? So you have to be born. You're obviously born then, you know, of the flesh. Then you get born again of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Perfect sense.
Yeah.
That, like, oh my gosh. Like, what is this guy smoking?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a typical one, though, that all those people that believe you have to be baptized will use that passage.
But then I could go to the thief on the cross. And woo!
Exceptions. Or everybody in the Old Testament, right?
Oh, my gosh. And there's this guy who claims, well, there's no verses in the Old Testament that claim eternal security. Meanwhile, it literally says in Psalms 37:28, for the Lord loveth judgment, he forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The saints are Christians. They're preserved forever.
Well, I mean,
forever.
Even David, Psalm 23 talks about, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, how about, and Isaiah talks about he has saved Israel with an everlasting salvation.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on and on and on. People, when they say that stuff, it's like they have to go on someone's ignorance.
Yeah.
And that doesn't know what the Bible says or know any passages. So,
yeah. Well, now that makes perfect sense to me. I was just reading today. I was reading because I read, what was it? All of First and Second Samuel. Then I read almost all of First Kings. Like, I got through the whole part with Solomon. And then I think I got to like chapter 16 or 17. And then I was like, oh, I want to read the New Testament now because I read so much Old Testament. So I went to Romans and I read Colossians today too. And it's like now everything, there's so much stuff. Like I remember like when I first read the Bible, like that it's just like everything just clicks now. Everything just makes perfect sense. You know, I'm sure you had the same thing, you know, when you read the Bible the first time, like, I don't get this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even now, like, there's just, I'm still learning a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I'll never stop learning different things in the Bible. But the more you read, the more things click together and you put things together. And there's going to be passages that are going to be confusing and you're not going to understand completely until later. So
definitely. Here, let me click on this guy.
With the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 19:6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Mark 16:17, and these signs, this is the important one, and these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will, some versions say, these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will speak. If you believe, you will speak in new tongues. Matter of fact, I want
to. Yeah, pull this up.
What's that?
Yeah, what did he say? Acts chapter 19?
Acts chapter 19? Is he?
He's saying that, going
to where they didn't even know there'd be any Holy Ghost. I don't know. Is that what he's talking about?
Let me go back.
These signs and prophesied. Mark 16:17. And these signs, this is the important one. And these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will. Some versions say these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will speak. If you believe, you will speak in new tongues. Matter of fact, I want to pull that up real quickly. Let me turn to it.
So Mark 16 doesn't say every single believer is going to do that. It says, you know, and these signs shall follow them that believe, but it doesn't say that it's going to follow all them that believe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and the reasoning for it too, because not everybody was like getting bit by serpents, right? Because he's just reading a portion of it, right?
Right.
Meaning that there's other things that are going to happen. Like, it's not just speaking with new tongues. It's like taking up serpents. It's drinking any deadly thing. I challenge this guy right here to pick up a black mamba and just take it up, right? I challenge this guy to just take a swig of arsenic.
Yeah,
and he'll be like, it. Hey, listen, you know, go for it. But here's the thing, though. The Bible talks about not tempting the Lord. And these morons that are these snake handlers and all this stuff,
yeah,
they're just trying to tempt the Lord. Obviously, there's a case where Paul was bit by a viper in the book of Acts, and he shook off the beast, and he didn't feel any harm. But the reasoning for these miracles that were done by the apostles, it says that in the last verse of Mark 16, verse 20, it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs following. The reason for those signs of, like, let's speaking in new tongues where people can understand in their own language, was to confirm the word of God. And you're talking about, like, the beginning of the New Testament, where we didn't have the Gospels written.
Yeah. You know,
we didn't have any of these epistles weren't written, right?
Yeah.
So they're confirming the word of God. The word of God's getting written down by the apostles.
Yeah.
And the apostles were first in the church, and there's no more apostles now.
Yeah.
Paul was the last. And it's interesting, speaking of the apostles being first, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this guy's talking about, well, every saved person is going to speak with other tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, dealing with spiritual gifts, it says in verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that. So notice that this is a progression, right? This is from first to last, right? After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Notice which one's on the last of the list there, right? Of like what's more important. But then it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, are all have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?
Obviously not.
No, like obviously not all of us are apostles. And so this guy, that verse right there just rebukes him to think that everybody, the whole chapter is dealing with the members of the church.
Yeah.
And he's saying that not all of us speak with tongues, meaning that it's talking about languages, first of all, but it's just talking about speaking in other languages.
Yeah.
And so this guy's out to lunch because it doesn't say all those that believe will speak with new tongues.
Never once does it say that.
It just says that these signs will follow them that believe. And guess what? It did.
Here we go. Let me.
16, because some people, they just, you give them this verse and they just overlook it. They brush it to the side. 16:17. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. If you believe, you will. And the Bible is not a lie. All right. Now, what you got to understand,
it doesn't say if you believe,
Paul talks about it.
That's not what it
he
says.
He talks about,
yeah, it's not.
See, I have it pulled up here. Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for. You think you know. Like, we go and we pray to God in our own understanding. We go with our requests. We go with our petitions. But here he clearly says in the word, we don't know what we should pray for, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So pretty much the reason why you want the prayer language, as some people call it, the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues.
Stop it right there.
Is because
go ahead.
So he's using Romans chapter 8, where it talks about the Spirit basically with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay. They're going to use that as a proof text of their utterings. It literally says it can't be uttered. So if that's the Holy Ghost speaking it, then they can't utter it.
Yeah.
Utterance is something that's outwardly spoken. So if that is a proof text for them, then they would be sitting there silent.
Yeah.
Because it can't be uttered. It's ridiculous. You know, the Bible talks about, like, Paul knowing a man that went up to the third heaven or into paradise. And it says that he saw things which are not lawful for him to utter or to speak. It doesn't mean that it's not like you can't understand it necessarily. It's just, or maybe you wouldn't understand it, but meaning this is that if I tried to explain to you a new color, it's something that I can't really explain, right? There's no way to compare it, right?
Right.
So, but that doesn't mean that I'm speaking some like gibberish language to you. It's just the fact that I can't explain it. Like, it's something that can't be uttered. It can't be explained, you know? And so, but that's hilarious that they would use a verse like that, because it literally says it can't be uttered. But they're like, yeah, no, but we're going to utter it.
Well, he's special.
It knows things about you that you don't know. It's interceding on your behalf. It brings things to the surface that you might not even know is there. Spiritual warfare that's going on, the way the enemy is attacking in the spiritual realm. You go to war with the word of God, but also praying in the spirit. All right. It's kind of like this, right? I've got this tablet right here and I've got a charger. Now check this out. If I do not plug in this tablet to this charger, let me just move it over a little bit so you guys can see, right? I've got the charger right here. If I do not plug the tablet into this charger, the tablet's going to die. It just has this black screen. So when I plug this charger into the tablet, there's a current that runs through this cord. That current meets this tablet, all right, and powers up this tablet, so that now when it's powered up, I have access to do so many different things I can do on this tablet through the access that I have, but I wouldn't have access to it without being plugged in. So what the Holy Spirit does, it's kind of like the power that goes into this tablet. It gives you access to so many other things. See, if you read the Bible and you don't have the Spirit of God, and this is another thing a lot of people get confused. Side note, people mistake feeling the Spirit of God, all right? Feeling it around you. It's kind of like Samson. The Bible said the Spirit would come upon Samson and he would do these mighty acts. But because of what Jesus did on the cross and in the New Testament, we are filled with the Spirit. It's not, oh, I just feel the Spirit around me, or because I'm in church, I feel it around me and I feel these effects. No, it's about being filled with it. And obviously the evidence of that is speaking in tongues. And now remember, don't disregard those verses that I said. It said, if you believe, you shall, you will speak in tongues. The Bible does not lie. So if you're not, if you haven't received it yet, it's something to do with your faith. And a lot of people, they get mad. You're going to see people argue in the comments, but that's really what it is, because the Bible does not lie. All right. Now, the other part of that that people get confused is the gift of tongues and being filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence speaking in tongues. The gift of tongues is different, right? There's two types of tongues. You have the gift of tongues, and then, you know, people interpret it in the church. And that's why Paul talks about that, you know, about having the interpretation of tongues and things like that. Some people argue, okay, you're not supposed to pray in the Spirit. That would mean that the Bible's contradicting yourself when you receive it. Now, many people, when they're praying, they are worried, you know, am I good enough to receive it? This feels weird. So, you know, you speak in almost in faith. You know, some people, they tarry for the Holy Spirit. I don't believe you have to do all that. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost through the evidence of speaking in tongues and get your prayer language, all you have to do is receive it in faith. And if you're not receiving it, there's a couple things that you have to do. Is there sin in your heart? Is there unforgiveness? Are you holding on to bitterness? Is there something that's blocking you from free?
So I'm confused. Or maybe I'm not. It sounds to me like what he's saying is that you can't receive the Holy Ghost unless you're speaking in tongues, or you didn't receive the Holy Ghost unless you're speaking in tongues. Is that what that's what it sounds like?
Yeah, he knows what this guy is like.
That's a bunch of,
the thing is that this guy doesn't have the Spirit, because he's a natural man, and the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and they're foolishness, and neither can he know them because he's spiritually discerned. But there's like a bunch of people in the comment section, like pointing out 1 Corinthians chapter 14,
yeah,
about like speaking in an unknown tongue and all this stuff. But I just want to read a portion of this. And 1 Corinthians 14:9, it says, "So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification." Okay, so that's what, listen, this jibber jabber garbage, like anybody that knows anything about linguistics would know that it doesn't have signification, meaning that it's just garbage. It's nonsense. And then it goes on to say, there are, you know, basically verse 11, it says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice,
yeah,
I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So, yeah. When it comes to speaking with tongues or with languages, the end of the chapter even says that this is for those that are not believers. But yet, all these people that are like all big about speaking in tongues, it's always done in the church, isn't it? It's always done around so-called believers, and it's all just a big show is what it is.
Yeah.
Ooh, big look show, at me. Big pretense. They want to look spiritual.
Yeah.
And it's not, they don't go out. Do they go out door to door and just start, shoot on the Honda, you know, and then like try to get people paid? Because that is.
You should do that when you go door to door. Look at me.
Yeah. They're going to think you're a nut job.
Yeah.
And, but exactly. Yet the Bible teaches in the passage that they're trying to say is some gibberish language, that speaking in an unknown tongue is for the unsaved. Because when you go out and you're a one-on-one soul winning and you're speaking the language they know, but no one else maybe around you knows that language, that's what you're doing.
Does nothing.
So, but you know what? If you want to believe in this jibber jabber, you know, gobbledygook language that's fake, and in a lot of cases demon possession, then you can go for it, but that's not what the Bible teaches.
Yeah. Can you is everything okay? Because for a second my internet was bad.
You seem okay. You're a little blurry, but
probably now it says it's good. Okay, now there's this other video. I'll pull this up. This is him saying you can lose your salvation. Let's see what he says. This will be an interesting one here.
by grace through faith. Jesus is Lord. I mean, you can say that, but what does that mean? What are you going to do about it? You know, and I think that's why God gives us a perfect example of faith is an action word, because Paul said faith without works is dead. Like that, I don't know how much clearer can it be. You have
Paul said that or James said that?
Yeah, James said that.
Okay.
Faith alone, that means you faith without works is dead. That's like 2 + 2 = 4. You can't just have, you can't have an equation with only one numeric number in there. You got to have this, then you got to have the plus sign and this, and then equals this.
Faith that's one of the dead. Biggest things, bro, that people say I'm a false teacher on. They say that I teach a works-based salvation. I said, no, I don't. But the Bible does say that your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So if your name could be blotted, that means it had to be written there first. The Bible talks about the backslider. The Bible says in James 2:19, thou believest that there's one God that doeth well, even the devils believe and tremble.
Oh, really?
Shut my mouth, you know. Typical James 2.
And then a real preacher comes on right after.
That's right. It'd be funny if it was James 2, you know, like he's preached on James 2.
And it's so funny. That's the one they go to the same ones. John or not John, Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23, and then they go to James chapter 2.
James 2 is a go-to.
And that's not a salvation book. That's not anything to do with salvation. It's talking about our works, am I profitable to, like, would I be profitable to fellow man if I'm just not doing anything, you know?
Well, it's talking about physical salvation, because it says, can faith save him from what? Well, you had to have read the earlier portion of the chapter.
Yeah.
Where it's talking about having judgment without mercy because you showed no mercy. And people just, when they see saved, they automatically think, they think like a fire or something like that. When they see dead, they think, well, you're dead in trespasses.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yet we know that if you said that person, that's a dead church over there, right? You're not necessarily saying those people aren't saved. You're just saying that they're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or you could even say that about anything, right? You could say like that organization's dead, you know?
Yeah.
They're dead as a doornail. It's like, well, they're just not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
it says here, I'll just read it so people can see what I'm talking about. James chapter 2, verse 14, starting there. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things with which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So it's talking about, is that profitable? That's what it's talking about. Is that gonna help anyone? That's what it's saying.
Yeah. You know, in Titus it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on to say, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works.
Yeah.
These things are good and profitable unto men, right?
Yeah.
And so it's
to men.
But you know, even in James 2, the example that's given is Abraham.
Oh yeah.
When it comes to that, and it's talking about being the friend of God. So yeah. Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do as I command you." He didn't say you're saved or you're made righteous.
Yeah.
You're born again if you keep my commandments. He says, you're my friends if you do as I command you.
Yeah.
But it says the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Seth, Abraham believed God and it was imputed on him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.
Yeah.
It did not say, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and he did the works and it was imputed on him for righteousness.
Yeah. And he was saved.
Then you'd have a problem, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's stating he got saved, but on top of being saved, he added to his faith works. Because the beginning of James chapter 2 actually tells you to not add something.
Yeah.
It says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons.
Yeah.
Right? Persons. But actually starts man. Off. What's that?
Yeah, persons, other people, man, a fellow man, because man cannot see our faith.
Yeah, I mean, like, so when it comes to being profitable unto men, you have works. If you want to be the friend of God, you need to have works, right? There's like two different things that it's even discussing in there. But, you know, when it comes to eternal salvation or being justified by, you know, having righteousness imputed unto you, that's by faith alone. And Romans chapter 4 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And so those guys are obviously unsaved.
And it even says this here. Obviously, you know this, you know, way more than I do, but it says, for in Romans chapter 4, verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. Right. But not before God. But oh, their head's exploding right now. Their head's exploding. You know, wait. Oh my gosh. My works aren't justifying me before God. Yes, before man.
Yeah. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Their head would explode.
I mean, but you know what? They're gonna negate hundreds of verses that say it's by faith alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Hundreds of verses, and then they're gonna look at one verse that they're ripping out of context.
Yeah,
and say, "Well, no, you gotta have that works."
Yeah, that's just so funny. And they also love to take 1 Corinthians chapter 6 out of context. You know, where it says these people will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. The works of the flesh aren't going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's
shocking, isn't it?
You know, they think that
not going to inherit it.
Yeah, exactly. And
but you know what? Does our flesh and blood go to heaven? No, it's our soul and our spirit, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, you know, that's what it's talking about. So.
And they take, like you were talking about, was that Galatians chapter? Is that Galatians chapter 6 or chapter 5 where it talks about the works? Yeah, chapter 5 when it's talking about these are the works of the flesh. And then they'll be like, see, these, if you do this, you can't go to heaven.
It's what? Well, who here is saying that any saved person's body goes to heaven right now? You know, right. Obviously, our bodies are going to be redeemed, and we're going to have the resurrection and all that. But at the same time, like, that's different. You know, it's going to be changed.
Uh-huh. And somebody said, we can't earn our righteousness, but it's not a license to sin. Well, people did a pretty good job at sinning before they got I don't even know. Some people are saved. Obviously, you don't know who's saved and who's not. But, you know, people did a good job before. So, I mean,
the Bible says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But then it says, should we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid.
Yeah.
We're not giving people a license to sin, but here's the thing though. If you think that you can lose your salvation and you think that works are involved in your salvation, you're going to go to hell because you're not trusting in Jesus Christ alone. So that's a big problem you're going to deal with because, I'd rather, you know, the person that's least in the kingdom of heaven is the person that not only breaks the least of the commandments, but also teaches others to do so. But that person is going to be greater than the best person.
It cut off for a second. It cut off a second.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Start over because the internet.
So in Matthew chapter five, I was actually just preaching on this because talks about John the Baptist being the best, like he's the best person to ever, you know, best prophet, born of a woman. But it says that he's least. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him, because we're talking about physically his righteousness physically. So I believe John the Baptist at that time was the best person to ever live, like up to that point.
Yeah.
And but then, you know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 that in verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so this guy's still in heaven, right? But not only is he breaking, like, basically even small commandments, right? It's kind of like, you can't even keep the smallest things, right?
Yeah.
But he's also teaching people to also break those commandments. So this person is saying, like, oh, you know, well, is this a license of sin? He's going to be least in the kingdom of heaven. But you know what Jesus says about that person? That they are greater than the best person that keeps the law or does anything. Because that person is not justified by their own righteousness. No. The Bible says that we may be found in him not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And just like Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, that righteousness that's imputed unto him will always be greater than any of the righteousness of any person that's in this world.
Yeah, and the same person just said, left the verse, I think this is 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 is talking about taking a fellow brethren in Christ to law, to a secular court of law, a worldly court, and the people judging them are unsaved people. They're unrighteous. That's why it's saying they're unrighteous, because they're unsaved. And they're saying that they commit these sins like this, right? And same in Galatians chapter 5, it's talking about these are the works of the flesh, right? But guess what?
Well, and two, this person's using the false version because it says homosexual offenders. It doesn't say that in the actual Bible.
Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 15:50. So your flesh and blood, you know, cannot go, but obviously your soul and spirit is going to go, and you're going to get a new glorified body. And it says that whereby grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. That's what it says in chapter 1 of Ephesians. It's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So God's obviously serious, and you know, that's what he put down for us. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and you know, that's what I'm saying.
Romans chapter 8 hits on that too, because it talks about how, you know, we spiritually have that earnest of the Spirit, right? And we are sons of God and children of God, spiritually speaking, once we believe on Christ. But our body, it says, you know, Paul even talks about, you know, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, right? Oh, wretched man that I am. He's talking about the flesh. But then in chapter 8, it talks about how we're waiting to wit the redemption of our body, and that is something that we're waiting for. So,
Oh, definitely. Let me pull up this, see if this guy's Marcus Rogers video. Well, this guy doesn't believe in the Trinity. One of these guys doesn't believe in the Trinity. If you want to call Jesus God, it's up to you. This guy, Brandon Tatum, says that Jesus is God. I'm like, then how are you? And he claims to be a Christian. It makes no sense.
Someone said on here, they said, Pastor Robinson, please don't divide the body by saying the KJV is the only Bible that is correct. It is the only Bible in English. And I'm talking about these new versions, right? So if you want to pull out the Bishop's Bible, you know, and the Geneva Bible, then whatever, you can go after that. But the King James Bible is without error and is translated from the correct Greek text. All these other versions are perversions from correct Greek text. And they go back to the Septuagint in the Old Testament. So obviously the Bible can be translated into any language, but in the English language, the King James Bible is perfect. So you could like that or lump it.
And it's weird how, you know, all of a sudden they just found these older manuscripts. I don't buy it.
Yeah. So, you know, what's funny though, is that that Mark 16 passage gone.
Yeah.
In all the new versions.
Yeah.
That Mark 16 passage wouldn't even be on their radar that we'd even be talking about. Because the woman caught in adultery, that story's gone, but yet they put it in there because people would probably have a big fit. You know, if they're reading through there, like, where's the story of the woman caught in adultery?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
Then this guy says, I think Marcus Rogers and Young Don are believers, just misled in doctrine. These guys have been teaching false doctrine Marcus Rogers have been teaching false doctrine for a long time, like years. And Young Don is just blatantly just teaching false doctrine, like hardcore works. Like I would say Young Don is way worse than Marcus Rogers. I mean, my God. Good night, dude. It's so obvious when someone like that's not somebody that just misled. Like, for example, if I was just, you know, confused or whatever, but these guys are hardcore teaching it. They're telling people you need to do this, right? That's
well, different. They're not ignorant though. So the difference, think about Paul the apostle, right? Paul the Apostle obviously was injurious to the church and to the Christians, right?
Yeah.
But he even states that he did it ignorantly and unbelievably. So he didn't know what the truth was, but he was fighting against those that were Christians.
Yeah.
And so when you think about, like, okay, is that person just deceived or are they ignorant? You can have a lot of grace for those people that are you're just like, maybe that just person just hasn't heard what the truth is, right? But these people know what the truth is, and they openly fight against it.
Yeah.
So
let's see here. He don't think there was a genuine change in young Don's life when he believed in Christ. Well, he believed in vain. He's telling people to follow the law. He's going out and getting circumcised.
There's been a change for the worse. I mean, yeah. This guy's out there teaching a false gospel. You know, the Bible talks about the dog turning to his own vomit again.
Yeah.
And you know what? The latter end of that guy is worse than the beginning.
Because
it would have been better for him just not to be just to be an unbeliever.
Never to be born.
Than to be this false prophet.
Yeah.
So.
Or to never be born, it says.
I mean, well, think about Judas, right? Judas, that's what Jesus said about him. It would have been better if he'd not been born.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, there's a change that happened there, but it's not a
bad one.
Yeah.
And it says here, this guy leaves Matthew 7:21-23. Yeah. So Matthew 7:21-23 is talking about false prophets.
That verse.
It's talking about false prophets. People, if you read the whole verse, I think it's starting in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 7 or 15, maybe 15, it says, beware of false prophets. You shall know them by their fruits.
Yeah, I mean, and these people, the will of the Father that you have to do is that this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone would see the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So thanks for proving our point that salvation is by
faith.
You know, it's eternal life. And these people obviously didn't believe it because he said, I never knew you.
Never. So, that's why you're going to hell, because he never knew you.
Yeah. And Jesus says, I know my sheep and they hear my voice and I give unto them eternal life. So, you know, he just proved our point with that passage.
And he said, what was it? In 6:29, John 6:29, and Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he have sent. Because they wanted to work the works of God, right? They want to do the works. And that's what he said. This is the work. Did you believe?
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I was going to say, when it comes to that, I think that, you know, you think about what is our work that we should be doing is getting people saved.
Yeah. It says,
believe, you know,
what is it? A fruit of the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise.
Right.
So yeah, we should be out go. We should be memorizing scripture and going out and winning souls.
Yeah,
I was memorizing scripture for like a couple of weeks and just getting down like the soul winning strategy. And then I went out, and then the more I did it, obviously I got way better at it and just became nothing.
Yeah, well, and just for everybody that's on here that may be watching me, like, what's the point of this? Well, listen,
Trinity is not found in KJV. Well. I'm sorry. This guy said the Trinity is not found, but in 1 John, it says there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
So the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And I think someone posted that they're like, oh, you should do the history on that. And it's called the Johannine comma. And basically, you know, they'll say, well, it wasn't that verse isn't found in the majority of the text or whatever, but it is found. And there's other proofs of why that being there and everything else. So, but you can go take your critical text that was under a rock for hundreds of years or 8,000 over 1,000 years. And, so there's other verses, obviously, that prove the Trinity.
Yeah, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, but whatever, believe a lie. Let's click on this here.
Other than that, I believe the Bible. At the end of the day, I believe Jesus said and did everything he said he did. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus is coming back. There's no way to the Father but through Christ. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit.
See?
Other than that, I believe the Bible. At the end of the day, I believe to the Father but through Christ. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, these things are very clear. I believe Jesus presented himself and mentioned that he was the Son of God. I believe Jesus when he said that. I believe that the Father in heaven is God. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, do they share an essence? I believe they do. That's his Son. If you want to call Jesus God, if that's what you want to do, then go ahead. But the confusing part is that I believe there's a difference between the Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you want to say they share the same essence, I'm not going to argue with that. But if you're going to say that they're the same person, you know, I just see that the Bible can be very confusing.
What's that?
I agree. They're not the same person.
Yeah.
Because the Trinity is three persons, one God.
Yeah. Yeah. But somebody was comparing that to like, say, this is what he said. He was saying that, okay, when a man gets married to his wife, they become one, two become one.
Like one flesh. Well, here's the thing. Any comparison, nothing's going to be a perfect comparison, no matter what you use, because God is unique. Someone said on here, same mind, same person, same mind. That's interesting because Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my own will, but thine be done. So it sounds like they have two different minds.
Yeah.
Jesus even says, I came down from heaven. The Son of Man came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me.
Yeah.
So Jesus has his own will and the Father has his will. Now, obviously Jesus, it says, I always do those things which please the Father. So Jesus is always in subjection with his will to the Father, but they obviously, he's saying not my will, but thine be done. That's not the same mind. Now, obviously God is triune, meaning it's three persons, one God. They have three wills, but they always are in agreement.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, but that's another, you know, this modalism, oneness, Pentecostalism is a heresy for sure. So,
yeah.
But, you know, he was like saying, he's like, you know, if you want to call him God, it's like, what in the world? You don't call him God? You don't think he's God?
Says he is. It says the word is God in John chapter 1.
Yeah, the word was made.
First opening of it.
You know, it is unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Yeah, I think I'm going to call him God.
Yeah.
Because he is. Even Thomas, when he, you know, when Jesus confronted him about touching the nail prints in his hand, says, my Lord and my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love when people say, well, when did Jesus say he was God? And you know, I say, when did he say he wasn't?
Yeah. I mean, they were constantly trying to kill him because he was stating that he was God.
Yeah.
And when he said he was the Son of God, they said, you know, basically, because thou being a man makest thyself God, because he said that God was his Father.
Yeah.
Right. So even the Pharisees back then knew that when he said that he was the Son of God, that meant he was God.
Yeah. And he's sitting at he said he's going to sit at the right hand of the Father.
And yeah, that's why these modalists are so insane that they can't. I mean, you see that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's taken a book out of the hand of the Father in Revelation. Yeah. He's walking, you know, like, and you're saying that's not two different people there.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, you have to be an insane person.
And they say,
well, no, that's just a physical, you know, the physical like body, right? That's him or whatever. It's like, well, no,
that's interesting.
That's insanity. You know, when it talks about Jesus, it says the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can go on and on about that. But that whole modalism stuff is garbage.
What do you think about when it says, when Thomas said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
Yeah, keep reading though, because he says, knowest thou not that the Father dwelleth in me and I in the Father?
Yeah.
So he clarifies it. And here's another thing too, is that in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the express image of his person.
Yeah.
So in Hebrews chapter 1, it's stating, it says, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. But then it goes on to say that he is the express image of his person, talking about God the Father, right? And so when, if he looks just like the Father, then that would make sense. But you know what it says later on in John?
What?
I think maybe earlier in John, it says that you have neither seen his shape nor heard his voice.
Yeah.
So those two have to make sense. Those two have to be, you can't contradict, the Bible can't contradict. So in one place, it's saying no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And then he says another place that no man has seen the shape of the Father nor heard his voice.
Yeah. Right?
But then Jesus says, the words that I speak are not my words, but the Father's.
Yeah. Right?
And he's saying that, well, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Why? Yeah. Because he's the express image of the Father, and he speaks everything that the Father says.
Yeah. So, and because it said no man spake like this man before.
Yeah, so.
Because.
But.
It's,
you know, these modalists believe in a false God. So.
Yeah.
There I said it.
And yeah, and somebody said Jesus didn't pray to himself.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that, but you know what it talks about? Jesus said that I'm not alone because the Father's with me, right? But then he even talks about that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. And it says, I myself, you know, basically bear record, but also the Father bears record, right? So it says that the witness of two men, right, is true. And so how in the world could you say the Father and the Son aren't two different, you know, persons?
Yeah, yeah.
When three you use that one. Illustration.
All three are one.
So.
All right, let me click on this again.
That was the argument that was going to be made. So thank you for the super chat. But at the end of the day, I believe what the Bible say. And I'm open to always learn if there's something new I need to learn.
That's where I think people on both sides get in trouble, bro. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness.
Yeah.
People be trying to act like they got it completely figured out. All right. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what I'm saying? So clearly there is a distinction between the Father and Jesus. Because it's clear as day. And the way that I always explain it, the Bible said God is a spirit. Period. God is outside of time and space. He just is. He just always was. And out of him, the Bible says a body was created. He put his spirit inside of that body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in us. It all comes from God, the spirit.
Yep.
That the Bible says God is a. So the way I always explain it to people is like, this is God. And he was all by himself in the beginning. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world, but it's all in God. It's like when Moses speaking to the bush and God was speaking to him through the bush. Like, I don't understand what's so difficult about it. I like how you said it. That's what I tell people. I say, I believe what the Bible says.
Okay. Let me see here. If there's anything else.
I'm gonna have to roll off here.
Oh yeah, no worries, man.
But yeah, I mean, who knows what those guys actually believe on the subject, because they're not really like stating, you know, like they believe he's the same person. Obviously, they're saying there's a distinction, but where, how far do they take that? That one guy says, and basically, like almost hesitates to call Jesus God.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. The Bible says he's
that. God. That's well, the guy's not saved anyway, because obviously they're all believing in work salvation. But
yeah, it's not worth it.
You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And so you have to understand that Jesus is God if you're coming to him. So that is, I believe, a crucial point. Now, do you need to understand the ins and outs of the Trinity, and can people be confused on that subject and still get saved? Of course, you know, but at the same time, like, you know, to think that there's no, that the Father is the Son, which is what these modalists teach. That's just ludicrous.
Yeah. And it made me laugh that, what was I going to say? Somebody had, somebody said that the NASB is more accurate than the KJV. Yeah, right. Oh my gosh, get out of here with that garbage.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should just trust this random dude on the chat here. Yet the King James Bible has been tried and true for over 400 years. And
yeah.
It's been evangelizing the world for over 400 years.
Exactly.
It's the most selling book of all time.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we're supposed to just believe that not until the late 1800s. Actually, NASB, well, that came out in the early 1900s, right? Maybe it was the early 18. Anyway, but yeah, it wasn't until then that we really figured an accurate translation.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like once you start reading it, like you adapt to it. It's not like obviously at first it takes us, you know, a little bit of time to get used to it because it's the way it's a little different, you know. But I love it. I would never go back to any other Bible.
And you know, for years I believed that the King James Bible was perfect, you know, compared to the Greek and the New Testament. But I have since read through the Greek New Testament over three times. I'm in my fourth time right now.
Yeah.
And now I know it's perfect. And there's just no difference.
Yeah.
You know?
And so it matches up perfectly, you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. So it's not like, oh, well, you know, they messed up here. It actually put a lot more faith. Actually, I already believed that the King James was perfect.
Faith is a gift. Actually, faith is a gift.
Yeah. Actually, I was just talking. Church member just brought that up because they just heard that argument.
Nonsense.
Yeah. But yeah. So I actually have a lot more appreciation for the King James Bible actually after reading it in Greek because of just how magnificent of a translation it is.
Yeah.
You know, people should really, if they just knew that, hey, we have the perfect word of God in our language.
Yeah.
What are you doing if you're not reading it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel sorry for people that don't actually believe that we have God's word preserved.
Yeah. And it just speaks to you way differently. Like these modern versions, they do not speak to you like that. Like the King James Bible, like when I'm reading, I know this is the word of God. This is the word of God.
It's the shepherd's voice, you know? And the thing is though, and what people need to understand is that, you know, like, well, you know, this verse over here is exactly like what the King James says. But if you bought a thing of rat poison, most of that's going to be good food for that rat.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of poison that's going to kill them. And when it comes to these false versions, there's going to be things in there that are going to be the same. And there's going to be things that are going to say the same thing. It just doesn't have the these and thous or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, but it's at the same time, that poison that's in there is going to kill you.
Yeah.
And all these versions, all these new versions have damnable heresy in them.
100%. And what's it called? I'm just grateful for, people like you and, obviously like Pastor Anderson helped me so much with just everything. I just learned so much. I feel like in the past, even just the past, what is it since January, like late January, I just learned so much. It's insane. Like, I feel like I've learned more in the last 3 months than I learned in like the last 2 years. Like, it's just mind blowing how much I'm just, and I love it and I'm enjoying it. Like, you know, I feel like you have to enjoy it, man. Cause some people, they just force, oh, I gotta read my Bible. No, you want to enjoy it. Like, I love it.
If you realize that, hey, it's all true, then you're going to want to know more, right? Because it's just like anything you learn from it, you're like, that's true. That's gospel truth. Like, you don't have to worry about whether it's valid or not. You know it's true. Yeah. When I got saved, I had a friend. The friend that got me saved was King James Bible only. But I remember learning about this subject and, like, seeing all these other versions and all these other things. And I didn't know Pastor Anderson until 2008. And so there were some doctrines, like the reprobate doctrine, that I didn't know. And and that was one that was definitely a doctrine that I learned from him. Not that was a new doctrine, obviously. It's been around for
He created it.
But at the same time, it was one of those things where I wish it would have been cool if, like, I, you know, like, it was like, oh, here's all the information, you know. And none of us are perfect, obviously, when it comes to doctrine or stuff like that. But at the same time, like, that's why it's good to be in a good church that has good doctrine, because then you're not, like, having to sift through all this, like, false doctrines and stuff like that, you know.
Definitely, man. I'm lucky that that's why I mean, Steadfast is like 45 minutes from me to an hour, depending on traffic. But it's definitely worth it, you know, because I mean, I go just every Sunday. I would go Wednesdays, but dude, I'll be sitting. It's rush hour traffic and I'm sitting there for like probably an hour and a half. Like, nah, I'll watch it. I'll watch
Wednesday's tough. Wednesday's tough after work and everything. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, in churches too, like the fellowship is a big part of it.
Definitely.
Know? Because you can listen to the sermons online, but there's something about being there and being around fellow believers and just that camaraderie, if you will.
Yeah.
That friendship, you know? So.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I think everybody should, you know, find a good church. And because before I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but now I realize, yeah, it's a big, big deal, man. Like, to actually find a good church. So
yeah.
Instead of just, you know, read the Bible for yourself, watch sermons. That's all important too. But I think, you know, finding a good church is incredibly, no, it's not the King James 1611. It's the King James, what is it? The 17, or what was it?
So 1769 is the one that you would typically, that's the one you're going to find.
That language is pretty hard to, like, 1611. I mean,
well, it's the font of it, right? So it's just how they use, like, the font of the letters. Like, I think the S's kind of look like F's and stuff like that. But the only difference between 1611 and 1769 is spelling.
Yeah. Grammar. That's what I mean.
So it's not the train. It's not a different, like, they had typos when they printed it. And it wasn't even like the translations, like typos. It was like the typos from this printer.
Yeah.
Because the printing press actually just came out when this was translated. So, the 1769 is what you're going to find, you know, when you just look up a King James.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pick up a 1611 replica, it'd say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not just like
different spelling.
It's going to be harder for you to like plow through reading it because it's going to be such a different font.
Just read this set with 1769.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, that's what everybody reads. Like, that's the King James everyone reads.
Yeah. Nobody... And when people are just like, well, it's these and the thous, it's like, but here's the thing, those are important. It's more precise. I'll say this because thee, thou, thine, thy is singular, you.
Yeah.
And ye, you, your is plural. So, for example, we were in John 3. In John 3, Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, if you're reading that story, you know, like if you and me were talking, or we were in a group talking and we can see each other, we can distinguish who we're talking to.
Yeah.
But in a book where you have like, you don't know who's talking, you know, who's all around, who he's looking at, right, when he's saying that, that these in the like whether it's singular or plural means something, right? Talking to someone specific, or is he talking to everybody? Right?
Yeah.
And so that's why the these and the thous, I would never want to get rid of that because you're losing you're losing some precision there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Get the King James Bible, guys. Read the King James Bible. Just stick with that and don't get the study one either. Just get a regular Bible. Because those notes, man, I think a lot of those notes, they want to deceive people.
Yeah, and even if the person is saved that wrote those notes, you know, you don't want to go into it with a preconceived idea. You want to just let the Holy Ghost teach you, you know, those passages. Obviously, you need to be saved first before you're reading it. But at the same time, like, you know what, just read it, let the Holy Ghost teach you, because he's the best commentary that you're going to ever have. So.
Yeah, well... Hey man, thanks for coming on. Definitely gotta do something next week. Guys, be sure to subscribe to Pastor Robinson's YouTube channel, just Mountain Baptist Church, or just type in Pastor Jason Robinson and you'll find his YouTube channel. He's got like tons and tons of amazing sermons, and you can learn so much from this guy. And he has just helped me out tremendously. He's been a blessing. And yeah, be sure to go to his YouTube channel, show him some support. And thanks again for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. God bless you, brother.
I might stay on and like talk for a little bit or do something. I might call like a hotline or something. I don't know.
All right, I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, man. Have a good day.
Bye. All right, bye.
All right, guys. Should I call a the Billy Graham prayer hotline or something? Let me see here. What do you think? Should I call the hotline? What do you think here? Billy Graham prayer hotline. Let's see. Billy Graham prayer. Billy Graham hotline. Let's see. What is it? Christian prayer hotline. Let's see. Which one should I call? Oh my gosh. Please tell me no. Call a master prophet. What is this? Christian, let's see what we got here. So what is being saved? I mean, it's very simple. It's just believing on Jesus Christ, trusting in him, not in yourself, not in your own righteousness. So and I was sick. You know, you got to believe that your salvation is secure, that it's eternal life. You can't think that, oh, I can lose it if I screw up, because then you're thinking that you got to work for it. Let's call this 700 Club here. TBN? No, I'll call 700 Club. This will be funny. All right, let's call. I really don't understand. Well, you know what?
This call may be monitored. Here,
we're calling the 700 Club. Purposes. Yeah, we are saved.
I want to thank you for calling.
I'll call as Wangsta.
Yeah. If you are calling for prayer, please press 2 for our next available representative.
All right. All right, we're calling.
We are so happy to receive your call. Please stay on the line for our next available representative, and may God bless you.
Yeah. So let's go a little bit. We're calling. The 700 Club. 700 Club. We come. See here. Where is this? There we go. I'm calling the 700 Club. You should.
This is Pat Robertson with you for just a moment.
Yeah.
Jesus encouraged his followers saying,
seek
first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you.
Yeah, let's see here.
That's Matthew 6:33, and it's his word for you today.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Okay, I'm waiting.
The Lord will give grace and glory.
Come on, bro.
No good thing will he withhold from those who walk the road.
Let's see what we see in here. Should I talk as Wangsta or what? What should I do? Chester or Wangsta? What do you guys think? I don't know. I don't know what I should do, man. I don't know. I mean, there could be people that aren't false prophets there. It just depends who answers the phone.
God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah
while he was in a difficult
place, and he said, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Okay, let's call a different one. Life Outreach. Let's call this one here.
It's called Life Outreach.
Hey, guys.
Outreach International. To allow us to meet your needs more effectively, please select from the following options. Press 1 for donation or product, 2 for prayer, or 3 for all other needs.
Transferring to an attendant. One moment, please.
Okay, answer. Chester, Wangsta, what do you think?
Thank you for calling Life Outreach International. How may I help you?
Yeah, how you doing? So I was just calling because I was trying to like figure out how I could get saved.
You're trying to call too?
I was trying to figure out how do I get salvation. You know what I'm saying?
You know, you want a prayer.
Like, nah, not a prayer, but like, how do I get saved? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I can do a prayer for you. I don't do like the like councils. Not my thing, to be honest.
Oh,
it's not our job here. But
yeah,
I think there are some lines that you can.
Oh, there. Oh, what's that?
In our ministry, there's no lines of the.
Oh, for real? All right, then.
Yeah.
All right, pimp. Appreciate it. Peace out. Dang. Let's see what Christian Television Prayer Network. Let's call this one. Let's see here. They don't know how to do it. I was handling with you, big pimp. Calling prayer hotlines. Let's see here. Goodness, bro. Let's see here. TBN? What's TBN, bro?
Hey, thank you for calling TBN.
TBN.
If you are calling for prayer, please press 1.
Yeah.
If you are calling to give a donation or request a ministry resource, please press 2.
Hey, Big Pippi. So,
calling TBN's prayer.
Hi, thank you for calling TBN. This is Jesse. Who am I speaking with today?
Brian.
Hey, Brian. How can I pray for you today?
So I was just trying to figure out how do I get salvation?
Yeah. I mean, great question, honestly. The Lord, you're seeking salvation?
I'm trying to figure out, like, what I need to do to get saved.
Work that Jesus did on the cross and believing and confessing with your mouth. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
Wow, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, because I can't lose it, right? Like, nope. I can't do anything. Like, if I mess up, I'm good forever, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, forever.
And you said Romans 10:9?
Yep.
All right, what was your name again?
It's Jesse.
Jesse, I appreciate you.
Brian, of course. Do you want to pray? Do you want to receive salvation right now? Or do you just want to do it yourself?
I could do it. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, you know what I'm saying? Because I was getting a mixed message. There's people telling me that I need to do works and stuff.
And if I don't have like this crazy changed life, then I'm not saved.
That can't be, that couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, sorry that people told you that. If that were the case, then like none of us are worthy, you know,
yeah.
None of us deserve any of it. That's why Jesus came. That's why God sent his son, mm-hmm. is because we couldn't do it on our own. So if we think about it as like, oh, we have to do this. And
yeah.
Like, no, that defeats the whole purpose.
You right.
Know, he did it for us. All we have to do is accept him and believe it.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, go down the path of striving, that's like so not what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
You know, he just asks us to rest in his love and, you know, the work is done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, yeah, I got to tell you something though. So I'm actually doing something where I'm calling different Christian hotlines to see if they know, like if they preach the true gospel. And you were spot on, and I just want to say that.
That's great.
Yeah.
So
I just
are
wanted,
you already a Christian, or are you like really wondering?
No, I am, and yeah, I'm actually doing some like this thing right now where I'm calling different hotlines to see what they say. Because, you know, there's a lot of people right. teaching a mixed message of false works salvation and saying, well, if you don't do this or that, then you're not saved. And, you know, false prophets. So,
yeah,
that's good.
So true. That's so good, Brian. Yeah. Well, before you go, I want to pray for you and bless
yeah.
you. And yeah, just bless you on your journey. Because,
well, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Well, Lord, I just thank you for Brian.
Oh, it's Cassidy. It's Cassidy. Sorry. It's really Cassidy.
Oh,
that's
okay.
My real name.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Hey, I understand. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, I thank you for Cassidy, Lord. I thank you for his authentic pursuit of the truth, Lord, and just wanting to seek that out. I thank you. Your word. Your word is truth. There's or just share it, God. I feel like a lot of I don't know. Anyways, Lord, I just bless him on his journey with you, Lord. God, as he goes, Lord, and as he calls these hotlines, Lord, as he seeks the truth, Lord, I thank you for just good conversations, Lord, and just revelation that he's able to give to them even. So, Lord, I just bless him, and I thank you for what you're doing. I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, any burden he's carrying, any worry, anything he's carrying in his life, I thank you, Lord, that you took it upon yourself on the cross, God, that you took everything on the cross that we might have peace and freedom, Lord. So I pray that this should become his reality, if it's not already, Lord, that you would just be able to live out everything that is in your word, Lord, and I doesn't have to strive for it. That is a free gift that we get to receive, God. So I thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you're doing in Cassidy's life, and I bless him to receive more of your presence, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Wow. Thank you so much.
Of course.
I appreciate
that.
Of
course, Cassidy. Well, Brian/Cassidy.
Yeah.
have a good time, you know,
yeah.
calling people. And I just encourage you, like, I don't know. I just feel like the Lord is saying, like, just your pursuit of this is, like, it shows, like, just how genuine you are. Like, you're like a man after his own heart, is what he just said. like you're like David, and you're really seeking after his heart. You're really seeking after, like, the true, genuine gospel. And that's, like, so beautiful. So just be blessed. Keep going. You got it. It's going to be great.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. I have a YouTube channel where I post Christian stuff. It's just called Cassidy Campbell Based. If you ever want to check it out. So
yeah.
Wow.
For sure. Well, Cassidy, God bless you. Have a great night.
You too. God bless you as well. Thank you so much for that. Good night.
Of course. Bye. Bye-bye.
Wow. She knew what she was talking about. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Well, she knew what she was talking about. So that's a plus. let's see what the ministry was called. That was called, that was TBN prayer line. That was TBN prayer line. See, that's the thing. There's people that work for the prayer lines that actually know what they're talking about. And there's people that have no idea what they're talking about. So, yeah. Let's see here. Read the comments here. See if I should call another call like... No, I'm not going to. It's getting late, man. I'm not going to call another one. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for coming on the stream. Everybody, be sure to leave a like on the stream. Leave a like. It helps a lot if you guys give the stream a thumbs up while you're in here. So it's late right now. You want me to call one more? Okay, maybe I'll call one more. Let's see here. Let's see what we got. A lot of places are closed right now, but yeah, come on, guys. Let's see here. Let's see. Call his. It's called His Radio. I'm going to call that now. Oh, Jehovah's Witness. That'd be hilarious. That would actually be funny.
Welcome to the Prayer and Helpline. We're so glad you called today. We're here to lift your needs up before our Lord, believing in His love and compassion for your situation. We're connecting you to the first available prayer minister. May God bless you and keep you as you dwell in Him and rest under the shadow of His wings. We apologize for the wait. We want the
Do they have a 7-day? Oh, that would actually be funny. A seven, what is it? Jehovah's Witness hotline would be hilarious. Jehovah's Witness Hotline. Oh my gosh, I should call them. Oh, I got a good one for them too. Request a visit. Contact us. They have a... No. Do they have a hotline? Jehovah's Witness phone number. Yeah, do they have like a... I don't know if they have a prayer hotline, though. I don't know if they have a prayer hotline. Yeah, I don't think Jehovah's Witness has a prayer hotline. Yeah, I don't see a Jehovah's Witness prayer hotline, actually. I don't see it. Mormon... Jehovah's. I do not see a Jehovah's Witness hotline anywhere unless somebody knows. I should start a hotline. That's funny. Request a visit from Jehovah's Witness. I'm good. Let's see here. I don't see one anywhere. They believe the Bible is found on a hill in New York City. But what? Let's see here. Mormon hotlines, LDS help. This is freaking hilarious. Do they have a street preacher hotline? That'd be hilarious. You know, if I called earlier, I could have recorded or I could have gotten like TD Jakes hotline. That would have been funny. Yeah, a lot of stuff is closed right now. All the good ones are closed. I want to call Gateway Church. That is a false prophet right there, Gateway Church. But yeah, guys, I am about to get off of here. I'm going to get off right now, actually. But guys, please be sure to give the stream a thumbs up. I'm going to leave it up here. And thanks so much, guys, for coming on the stream. God bless. Thank you. Good night, guys.